الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, all praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him and we ask for His help. We beg for His forgiveness and we seek refuge and protection with Allah from the evils of ourselves and from the evil consequences of our own sins. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides to the straight path, no force in the universe can misguide him. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguides, no one can guide him to the truth. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. O you who believe, fear Allah, you should be feared, and die not except as Muslims. So I wanted to go over a couple of things that were spoken by a scholar who lived about 800 years ago, whose name was Abu Abbas al-Mursi, who was an Egyptian scholar from the 12th century. And he stated that there's four conditions that every person fits into, four categories. And every single person exists within these four conditions, and there is no fifth except for these four, and there's only four responses to those four conditions. So the first one that he mentioned, that every person, and of course some of these may overlap, so there's four possibilities with no fifth possibility. The first that he described was the condition of tribulation, and also known as ibtila, like some type of situation that's very difficult. And every single person has to go through some test in this life, no matter what it is. Every one of us has some particular test that we're experiencing that we must deal with, whether it's work or employment, or if it's marriage, income, whatever it may be, health. And for some people, it's very, very, these trials are extremely difficult. And they're all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually promised us these tests. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع والنقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, surely we will test you with a bit of fear and hunger and loss and wealth and lies and the fruits of your toil, of your labors, and give good tidings to the patient. So if you actually, this very short verse covers just about every type of tribulation that a human being can go through. Fear of one's life, safety, one's family, hunger, which is one of the most basic necessities of every human being, that they won't have enough food to eat, loss in one's wealth, right? We all have some level of wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here right now. And the fruits of our labor, right? So we may have spent years and years of our lives, our income, whatever it may be, to build something, to buy something, to create something, and it may be taken away from us. is lost in lives. That's the other thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. He's going to test us with all, it covers just about every possibility that we can experience in life. And we know that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved Prophet, experienced much of these things. In fact, he experienced all of them. Right? We know during his lifetime he experienced all of them. Loss of his children. He buried 6 of his own children before he died. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His beloved wife, Khadija, passed away. His uncle, his grandfather, people who cared for him. They were poor. He suffered extreme poverty, where they didn't even have enough food to eat. So they suffered something of food, of their wealth, of their lives, and of their income. Right? So he suffered all of these things. Rejection from his people. Right? So he suffered all of these things. And the response of tribulation, and it's actually described to us in the Quran itself, is patience. Right? And this is the response of the 4 categories. The first is tribulation. The response of being in that category is patience. And we know that Allah numerous times in the Quran is something like, you know, dozens of times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually mentions that He loves the people who are patient. Right? Because these are all, if we recognize where these tribulations are coming from, He's guaranteed us these tests in this life. And so the tests are not random things that occur to us. They're actually by design. Because we believe that everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't believe in accidents. We believe that Allah sends us things through means, through asbab. There's different means that Allah sends us these tribulations. So they're not accidental. And Allah has promised us that these things will happen. And so when these things occur to us, when they happen to us, the response that we are supposed to have in that situation is patience. Right? And patience is when the tribulation first occurs. That's what the Prophet said. It's not later, when everything's calm and everything's back to normal. And there is a hadith of the Prophet where he was passing by a woman who had lost her son, and she was grieving. She was wailing, and she was very upset. And so the Prophet, as he walked by, he mentioned some words to her to calm her down. And she didn't know it was the Prophet, so she responded actually very rudely. Something along the lines of, you know, you don't know what I'm going through. Something along those lines. Something very... So he quietly left. And later when she found out that was the Prophet ﷺ, she went to apologize to him. And that's what he told her. He said, patience is when the tribulation first befalls you. Right? When you're in the middle of that pressure, of that test, that's when the patience has to be expressed. Because later, as time goes on and everything calms down, it's easy then to reflect on what happened and be calm about it. So the real patience is when one is in the middle of the tribulation. Right? Because it's easy to lose control and easy to lose one's sense of balance. So this is the advice of the Prophet ﷺ. And this is the advice, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. When His servants are experiencing tribulation and tests that are sent by Him, is when we experience patience and rida, contentment with Allah's decree. Right? And there's people who question these things, right? There's people who ask about, well, you know, this is a form of waswasa from the shaitan, whispering from the shaitan. Well, why would God do this to me? Why would a good God who is good do this to a good person? Why would these things happen? We know that even the prophets who are the most beloved of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the best of creation, was tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know there's a complete balance between this world and the next. And whatever we experience here in terms of tribulation, we're recompensed manyfold in the next life. So there's no sense of why is this thing happening to us now. We'll be compensated for it in a way that's extremely just, and actually in a way that we'll be glad that we suffered those tribulations in this world. And we know that the Prophet ﷺ spoke about a man on the Day of Judgment who would be given tremendous reward because of what he suffered in the dunya. And the man is said, if I had known the reward that I would receive for my suffering, I would have wished that my body would have been torn to shreds. And we know that the Prophet ﷺ said that even a pinprick removes our sins, relieves us of sin. It's a form of forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of these things are just a means of elevating us and bringing us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the first category that we're all in. Or one of the categories, one of the four, is tribulation, with the response being patience. The second category that this scholar Abu Abbas al-Musi spoke of was blessing, ni'mah. Right? We all experience blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Every single one of us have some form of blessing. In fact, we have tremendous blessing. The fact that we're sitting here right now is in and of itself a tremendous blessing. Right? We believe that there's this idea that there's, thank God, you know, there's this phrase, thank God for small blessings. But really, there is no small blessing, because every small blessing is contingent on millions of other blessings being in place for us. Right? If we take something small like walking, right? Walking is contingent on millions of variables that have to be in existence before we can even walk. We have to have a brain that functions. We have to have legs that work. We have to have muscles that work. We have to have bones that work. Right? And the fact that we walk without even thinking. Right? We actually don't think about it. The thought comes and it's carried out by the body. And in fact, some of the more recent scientific research indicates that most of our lives are actually carried on in this fashion. We don't even think about most of what we do. It becomes habitual. The brain actually goes on autopilot and it takes care of everything within what we do normally. Even driving. Right? You ever wonder sometimes how you've gotten one from one place to another? You don't actually remember. Maybe you were talking to somebody. Maybe you're on the phone. Maybe you were thinking about something that happened during your day. And before you know it, you've arrived in your driveway or your home at your doorstep without even having recalled the details of what went on during that transit. At every stoplight you stopped at, every stop sign you stopped, every lane you changed, it all happens on autopilot. And that's your brain actually functioning at a certain level where you're not even consciously aware of it. All of the things that happen in our body are outside of our actual physical voluntary control. Our kidneys, our heart, our lungs, our blood. All of these things are happening without we're not directing our heart to pump. It's doing it on its own. Or even our breathing. Or even our blinking. Or even our brain functioning. Right? We exist in this state of homeostasis, complete balance. Such that if any one of these chemical reactions went out of sync, we would die. Right? So all of these things are blessings for us. The smallest thing, reading a book, looking at a stop sign, all of these things are contingent on millions of blessings that come before it. So there's no such thing as a small blessing. Not one. Not a single thing. And we have only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to thank for it. Because all of these things are given to us and they can easily be taken away at a moment's notice. So these are all things. The response to a ni'mah, to anything that it may be, any kind of ni'mah that we experience, is shukr. It's gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And even when we do experience a tribulation, even that is a ni'mah because it brings us closer to Allah, and it may be there may be actually a worse tribulation that Allah is saving us from. So even when we do experience a difficult situation, the response is to thank Allah for that tribulation because it's a ni'mah, and thanking Allah that it's not a worse tribulation. Because easily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could do anything. He's given us these blessings and He can take them away from us. We're not entitled to any of the blessings. There's nothing that we did that actually is deserving of Allah's blessing. We haven't done anything. What did we do? We were born and that's it. And Allah created that birth. Allah owes us nothing and we owe Allah everything. So that's the shukr that we are as Muslims supposed to have, is alhamdulillah for everything, in tribulation and in blessing. And one of the things that the Prophet ﷺ taught us is that the secret to increasing one's blessing, or actually safeguarding one's blessing, is to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? When one is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah increases the blessing, protects those blessings, because you're appreciating and recognizing the source of those blessings. It's not any one of us that gave us what we have. Right? We may know people who are extremely wealthy. Maybe some people, but I know people who are extremely wealthy at one point, their blessings were taken away and they're extremely poor at another point in time. It can happen overnight. So these are all blessings. It's not something we did. These are just means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for us, that we get these blessings, that they can easily be taken away. Something as simple as recognizing a person's face. Right? There's something in the brain, there's a dysfunction in the brain called face blindness. And there's some people who have a disorder, they recognize and function normally in every respect except they can't recognize people's faces. Right? Imagine your spouse or your child or somebody, you see them every day but you don't recognize their face. It's like looking at a new person every day. Right? These are little things that we, or the having memory, right? Memory is essential to our day-to-day existence. Some people have short-term memory loss. Right? They can't remember the things around them that they did a few minutes ago, a few moments ago. There's actually people like this. Yet we're constantly functioning on the basis of our memory and all of these things that are constantly ongoing at any given moment in our bodies and our minds. These are tremendous, tremendous blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the response to this condition of ni'mah is shukr, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in iman and taqwa, and we ask for His forgiveness inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك من الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. So to recap, when people came in, and just to continue on, there's four conditions, there's four situations that every human being exists in with no fifth. And this was something that one of the ulama had spoken about. In particular, his name was Abu Bas al-Mursi. One of his students was a scholar, Ibn Ta'il, that had written this down. And this is something that ulama have taught people as a way of understanding our situation. There's four situations that every human being exists in, with there being an appropriate response to that. The first one is, every human being can be in a condition of tribulation, with the proper response being sabr. The second is, every human being is in a condition of receiving blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the appropriate response being shukr. The first being sabr, the second being shukr. The third condition that every person is in a state of obedience. Right? And the proper response to being in a state of obedience is to feel gratitude and to not feel arrogance. Right? Because it's easy for us when we've done something good, whether we've prayed our salah, given to charity, prayed our sunnah, fasted during Ramadan, whatever good deeds that we've done, whatever acts that we're doing that are in a state of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the appropriate response is to feel gratitude and not to feel prideful. Right? Because it's easy, it's very easy in fact, when we see somebody who's not doing something that we know they should be doing, and to think negative thoughts about that person. Oh, that brother, he's not praying, or he's not fasting, or he's not doing this or the other thing. It's very easy, and you know, maybe you stood up to do your sunnah prayer, and the guy next to you walked away after his fard salah. And that may invoke a sense of pride that, oh, I'm praying this prayer, and this other guy, he just walked off. Right? It's easy to... And time after time, if this reaction is occurring, it builds a sense of pride and arrogance. And there's nothing... One of the things that Allah detests is pride and arrogance. Right? Because everything that we do is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The response in being a state of obedience is to thank Allah for allowing us to do that good deed. Because again, we're recognizing that it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who may have inspired us to do that thing and given us the means to do that thing. So a person who has actually committed haram or left a fard who repents is better than a person who performs a fard and obeys the commandments of Allah but feels arrogance at that act. Because a person who has committed a haram and asks for forgiveness is in a state of humility, is recognizing that they've done something wrong, is begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, is recognizing that Allah is the source of mercy and the source of everything. Whereas the person who has committed a good deed and feels proud about it is actually inferring and almost seeing themselves as the source of that good deed. In fact, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And we know that pride is one of the crime of the shaitan, of Iblis. That's why he refused to bow down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was his arrogance and his pride. So it's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala detests. It's always, we don't know who the person next to us is. Even that person walked away or committed some haram. We don't know what their end may be in the akhirah. That person may be somebody who's one of the people of Jannah. And we may be the person who is punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't know. That person may have done one deed that is so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all of their sins are forgiven. Or at the end of their life, they do something that elevates them to the point where Allah has forgiven everything that they've done. We don't know. We don't know who everybody is. And one of the ways of da'wah that the ulama say, they spread Islam in certain places, is that when they talk to somebody who's not a Muslim, they don't treat them with disrespect. They don't treat them with arrogance. Oh, look at this kafir. He's not a Muslim. They actually treat them as if they are better than they are, assuming that they might be one of the people of paradise. And so the way they treat them is with complete humility and respect. And that's the way of the Prophet ﷺ. That was his way. He treated everybody with utmost respect, even children. And so this is one of the things that when we are in a state of obedience, to make sure we don't have a sense of pride, is that we recognize that it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who's given us these things, and that we really thank Allah for it. That's the response, is thanking Allah and to not have arrogance. The fourth category that every person is in, one of the four is disobedience. Is disobedience, not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doing something that is haram, doing something that is forbidden by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the proper response to that is tawbah, is to ask Allah for forgiveness. And there are certain things that of course the Prophet taught us, and he told us, if we make a sincere tawbah and that we endeavor not to repeat the sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us for our sins. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the person who repents. He loves the person who repents because it is a recognition of the sovereignty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He and He alone is the only one who can forgive us for whatever shortcomings we've presented ourselves with, presented Him with. And so there's things that the Prophet ﷺ taught us, salatul tawbah, that we've done something haram, that we pray surah salatul tawbah with the intention of making tawbah to Allah. Also to make up any haram or bad deed that we've done, to make it up with something good, like give to charity. Right, to something that we've done and we feel repentant about it, we ask Allah for tawbah for it, we ask Allah for forgiveness, and to kind of make up for it, to give to charity, give to the poor, to feed somebody. Right, these are all ways of the Prophet ﷺ. And so the four things that we have to remember, these are the four conditions that we're all in, and there's four responses to them. Tribulation, the response being patience. Experiencing a ni'mah, a blessing, and the response being shukr. Being in a condition of obedience, with the response being gratitude, shukr, as well as not having arrogance. And the fourth, if we're in a state of disobedience, to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when we are in any one of these four conditions, these four states, that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq, to have the appropriate response, to be of the people who are pleasing to Him in every respect, and to make it easy for us to leave the things which are displeasing to Him, inshaAllah, and make us of the people of Jannah of Firdaus. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the people who are suffering in the world. We ask Allah to increase us in gratitude and shukr, and increase us in iman and taqwa, inshaAllah. وَانْصُرْنَا فَأَنِّكَ خَيْرُ النَّاسِرِينَ وَفْتَحْنَا فَأَنِّكَ خَيْرُ الْفَاتِحِينَ وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا فَأَنِّكَ خَيْرُ الْغَافِرِينَ وَارْحَمْنَا فَأَنِّكَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ وَارْزُقْنَا فَإِنَّكَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ وَاهْدِنَا وَنَجِّنَا مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَهَبْ لَنَا رَيْحًا طَيِّبَةً كَمَا هِيَ فِي عِلْمِكَ وَانشُرْ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ خَزَائِنِ رَحْمَتِكَ واحملنا بها حمل الكرامة مع السلامة والعافية في الدين والدنيا والآخرة إنك على كل شيء قدير سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.